InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Recent research shows how smartphone-based digital therapy reduced repeat suicide attempts by a large margin among high-risk patients. Here with the story, InfoTrack reporter Jim Anthony. Jim?
Thanks, Chris. A nationwide study showed how a smartphone-based digital therapy app could reduce a patient's suicidal thoughts and behaviors after being discharged from the hospital. Here to discuss the study is Dr. Michael Allen, a professor of psychiatry, adult psychiatry, in the School of Medicine at the University of Colorado, and a co-author of the study. Dr. Allen, let's start with the big finding here. This smartphone app reduced repeat suicide attempts by more than 58%. In practical terms, what does this mean for patients and families who face this struggle?
The problem really for suicidal people is that there often isn't help available when they need it. So the challenge for us has been to figure out, once we are in contact with somebody who is suicidal, what can we do for them that is practical? The sort of received wisdom was that we would just refer everybody to a mental health practitioner and that person would take care of their suicidal crisis. The truth is that many people never make it to even the first appointment with a mental health professional, and that is the highest risk period, you know, when people are just leaving the hospital or the emergency department in a suicidal crisis. The first few weeks are the most dangerous. And so there is a really pressing need to find something that will reduce that person's risk while they are in that dangerous window.
Why is that transition to home such a vulnerable time for high-risk patients?
Well, for several reasons. One is that people often sort of feel better in the hospital. You know, they're at least away from whatever is causing their crisis. But when they leave the hospital, they're sort of right back in the soup again. And so many of the feelings that they had before they went in the hospital kind of come rushing back, and they're often no better prepared to deal with it than they were before, and there is not much help available. That's the problem that we've been trying to figure out how to address, is what do we do about that gap in services?
So according to the study, the app, this digital therapy app itself, guides patients through 12 short lessons. Can you paint a picture for us? What does that look like for someone using it day to day?
It's a really interesting application because you can choose an avatar that is sort of the visualization of the chatbot that you're working with in the app, and then that avatar sort of walks people through the lessons that they need to learn in order to reduce their suicide risk. And one of the interesting findings was that the number of sessions that people completed was correlated with their response. And that's interesting because it's a dose response relationship. So the 12 sessions, you want me to say a little bit about that?
Yes, that would be great.
The first step, and this is true whether you're talking to somebody in person or whether you're using the app, the first step is sort of understanding your own risk factors for being in a suicidal crisis and being able to spot the warning signs of an impending crisis and develop a plan for coping with future suicidal crises, because those are likely. You know, if you've been suicidal once, it's likely that you will be again at some point in the future. And so the first step is sort of developing a plan for coping with the next suicidal crisis. The next part is developing a hope kit that includes things that make you feel better and make you feel more of your reasons for living, which is a big part of recovery from suicidal crises. There's some behavioral activation in it. There's some relaxation and mindfulness. There's some work on sleep. Sleep is an independent predictor of suicide risk. There is some cognitive behavioral therapy, helping people to sort of recognize when they're going down the rabbit hole, reality test the kind of negative thoughts they're having, and then switch to something more positive. There are things called coping cards, which are individualized. People develop their own. And after going through all of those pieces in bite-sized steps, which the person can do at their own pace whenever it's convenient for them, then there's a set of review sessions that go back over what's called the risk curve, how people become suicidal, their plan for dealing with it, and so forth. So it just walks people through those things in a visually interesting way on the phone.
Sort of a new generation of suicide prevention strategies. So how does digital therapy differ from the more traditional talk therapy, and why might it be especially effective for high-risk patients?
A lot to say about that. The generation coming along is really used to working through things on their phone and would prefer talking via chat than talking to a person. So it, in some ways, you might think that talking to a person would be more helpful, but in some ways it takes more effort and you're more exposed, maybe more embarrassed talking to a person. And so talking to an app reduces that barrier, that sort of problem with letting your guard down with another person. And then it also has things that the other person may not have been trained to do. We know that mental health professionals are not necessarily trained to take care of suicidal people. And so in some ways it may be easier to do it, and there are components of it that you might not get in person. So the advantage to the in-person one is that there may be more warmth and empathy, if you will, that might not come through on a digital. But the advantage is that there's a lot more content available that we know is beneficial to people.
Your study found benefits lasting up to 6 months for people using the app. What does that sustained improvement tell us about how patients are engaging with this therapy? Presumably, it's working.
You know, I think it really is working for some people. Now, it's not going to be the fix for everybody. You know, all that I just said about, you know, working with a digital therapeutic is great for people who like it. There are other people who are really going to want to sit in a room with somebody. So it's not for everyone. But for people for whom it works, it really works. The other thing to keep in mind, too, is that generally people are suicidal for a period of time. It can be kind of a chronic condition. But for many people, they are suicidal because of some temporary set of circumstances. And when that crisis passes, they're okay. So this helps them get through the crisis and be prepared for future crises. But remember, I said the risk is greatest in the first few weeks. And so if you can just get people through that period of time, then the evidence is that they go on and live indefinitely.
Do you think that the digital tools like this could realistically scale nationwide? And what challenges would we need to overcome to make this part of everyday care practice?
First of all, the challenge for implementing this, a lot of it has to do with just who has phones. Not everyone has a phone. We found this in another area where we've tried to improve this, which is just calling out to people on the telephone after they leave the hospital. And what you find when you dig into this is that there are a lot of people who don't have a phone, or who they don't have a service plan. So they may have a phone, but, you know, but no service. So just getting over that barrier will limit the reach to some extent. Otherwise, the app itself, it's being developed under what's called an investigational device exemption with the FDA. And so the sponsor of the study hopes to make it available by prescription, so it would be covered by insurance. Another barrier would be the cost of it and who covers the cost.
And finally, for listeners who may be struggling themselves or supporting someone at risk, what message of hope do you most want them to take away from this research?
The main thing is hope. As I have said, suicidal crises tend to pass. You don't want a permanent solution for a temporary problem, which is what suicide is. You want people to keep up their morale and their sense that they can get through it. And that's a lot of what we try to do through this digital therapeutic and others that we're working on, which is just to help people to feel more hopeful and have the tools that they need to weather the crisis, which will pass for most people. And this just helps people to get through it.
It'll be certainly very interesting to see moving forward how digital therapeutics evolve and certainly help patients. Dr. Michael Allen, our guest, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And I'm Jim Anthony for InfoTrack.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.